Welcome back to the Better Than Best Academy, where we have inspiring conversations with extraordinary people. We want to give you the tools and the lessons that you need to fulfill your purpose while making a positive impact on the world. Now let's dive into today's episode. Today's guest is nothing short of extraordinary. She is a hip-hop artist, rapper, a worship drummer. I won't go in and tell you a big, long list of who she is. I'll let her introduce herself. But her name is Megan. And Megan, since we're first meeting, I know that we just met literally like a few minutes ago. So, and a lot of my audience probably might not know who you are. I love to open with a very big and weighty question, and we can keep rolling. But yeah, so Megan, I love to open with this big weighty question of who is Megan?
Yeah, so that's a good question. Like you said, it's pretty weighty. There's a lot of things I can go into that. So my name is Megan Tossie, and I will be 25 on Monday, even though I look like I'm, you know, a kid, but it's okay. I always get told I'm 16 when I'm literally 25 in a few days, but it's all right. But basically, I am in Central Florida. So, Orlando, I actually live in a city called Sanford. I'm sure some people may know what that is, where that city is, but if not, I'm near Orlando. So everyone knows where Orlando is. But yeah, so I would just say a few things. So basically throughout my life, it would drive my dad crazy because he hates noises like that, especially repetitively. And I realized as I got older that it actually I actually could play drums. So I started playing like different African drums. And then when I was like 15, I got into in the drum set. So that was kind of cool. And ever since I've been playing, I actually play at my church right now pretty consistently. And so that's pretty cool. I actually never thought I would be capable of doing that. So that was kind of cool. And it's definitely all the Lord. I'll tell you that for sure. And I also, my whole life have been writing like lyrics or poetry or some kind of creative writing. And when I got to the age of 13, I was kind of going through this like depression of like, you know, getting made fun of all the time and not understanding who I was. And I was really into hip hop my whole life because I come from an area where hip hop's a pretty big thing. And I also just connected to it a lot. Probably also because I was around it a lot, so, and it just felt like something I always wanted to get into, but I never thought, like I said earlier, I never thought I'd be able to. So all of these, I can't do this because of this or whatever, or finances I don't have or whatever it was, you know, I never thought it would be possible. So that's kind of cool to see now, like where, you know, what I'm doing now. But throughout my teens, I started writing lyrics for like hip-hop. I was heavily influenced by like Christian hip hop artists like Lecrae and Eddie Mineo, Trip Lee, you know, all the OGs, even Toby Mac, Group One Crew. And of course, I also like to listen to Nicki Minaj and Lil Wayne and all of them when I was younger. Drake, you know, they were pretty cool. They have great flows and everything. And then, yeah, it was 20. I started writing again. So I took a little break and I started writing worship music. But then when I was around 20, I started writing hip hop again. And I actually just got home from being a missionary for a little bit. So I started doing that, but I was like, oh man, I can't do this. Like, I ain't got money. I'm a white girl. You know what I mean? It was like, I'm not the stereotype. You know, I'm from like an area where like this is like, you know, the thing, but I feel like I don't look like it. So, you know, but I was like recording myself on my phone just to be like, I wonder what I would sound like if I actually put these verbally, these lyrics, you know? And I was like, oh, wait, I gotta find my voice. So I started like fine tuning like my voice of how I would want myself to sound like. And I never thought I would ever do anything with it. And basically what happened was I actually, saw one of my friends post on their story, yo, I'm someone exclusive. And I was like, what? That's so cheap, you know? So in my mind, I thought it'd be like $1,000 for every beat. And I thought, cause you know, I was raised like, you know, like in the era where it was like, you know, it wasn't as financially easy to come across things like that, you know, like now it's more prevalent where it's more cheap and you can have your own studio in your house now without spending $5,000 or more, you know, like you can just spend like a couple hundred, like, you know, maybe around, maybe close to 1,000, depending what you got, you know. But that was something that like opened my eyes. But then I was like, well, how am I going to record it? And I didn't even know what engineering was at the time either. So I didn't realize that was also a factor. But I eventually figured out, like, you know, like it's more feasible than I thought. I guess, you know, technology has advanced a lot, you know, since I was younger. So, yeah, so I started doing it. I started recording, but I didn't like the first few songs I made. So I never released them. And so I was like, this isn't good enough to there. And then finally, after like a year of recording, I actually put out a song on January 1st, 2021. After all the craziness, I was actually going to release in 2020, but everything got crazy, so I waited. But yeah, so that's kind of when I started. So it's been about 2.5 years now, crazily. So of me actually releasing music, but I have wrote my whole life and, you know, I've always wanted to do it. I just, you know, I even used to like do fake concerts in my house when no one was home to Lecrae songs and different artists being like, I can do this, you know. That was me, as even like in my high school years, I would do that. And I was like, yeah, people probably think I'm weird if they saw me, but I don't care. You know, so yeah, so that's kind of a little bit of my life with the music. So
first off, again, thank you for being on the podcast. Thank you.
Yeah,
for
thanks.
Your story, I feel like you were a long lost sister because we were like pretty much the
yeah,
plays drums,
yeah,
white person that happens to rap.
Yeah, exactly.
Found out a way to make it happen. Oh man, mm-hmm. There's so many places that I loved hearing that story. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, and thank you.
It's cool to see you going after it and still going after it as a rapper. Man, it's funny, and it reminds me of a story. I remember when I wrote my first rap, I had my sister's hand-me-down Dell laptop.
Yeah, that was like me too.
A piece of crap, and I had a Rock Band mic. Because the Rock,
oh my gosh,
is USB, and I, yep, had free digital audio workstation.
Oh no,
I had Audacity, and then I ripped it, okay, from YouTube, and it was hot garbage. But it's like that. It's that idea, and I say it all the time on the show. It's just like, if you, and that's a practical thing you can pull out of your story, is if, yeah, you're listening at home and you're young and you have this gift or this desire, this dream, just go after it. Just start. Don't look at your limitations. Look at your resourcefulness. Look at what you have around you, mm, that you can make it happen with. And I think that's so important. But another thing that I feel like too, and I feel like I relate with you a lot on this, is being someone that's obviously elephant in the room, other than, mm, Eminem and a handful of other,
yeah,
you know, other than a handful of other white rappers. I'm curious, is as you started actually putting yourself out there and rapping, what are some of the things you think people misunderstood about you, or even,
yeah,
misunderstand about you?
Yeah, that's a good question. I actually grew up my whole life having a hard time accepting my skin color, because where I was raised, I just like got made fun of all the time and had a lot of stares a lot, and would get kind of treated like crap because I was white. So you always, yeah, a lot of times hear the opposite, but where I was raised, it was like, yeah, that for me. Wow, I just kicked my mic, but whatever. But it was like that for me. So I actually grew up hating the fact that I felt like ashamed that I was like, why did I have to be born this way? You know, all the people I'm around, they look down on me because of it. And I feel like our history is so bad in certain aspects, you know, depending on what we're talking about. But there's a lot of bad history in America and throughout the world,
yeah,
from, you know, different things. So it was like that whole shame of like, wow, that's where I come from. That's my culture. And like, and it wasn't until recently that I started to learn that it's okay to embrace your color of skin, even if it's not the popular like opinion at the moment of, oh, like, let's, you know, let's embrace white people. Like, people don't do that anymore. You know, people don't like white people. So nowadays, that's all you see on TV. But I feel like I'm learning by getting closer to the Lord is like, you know, like he created me this way, and I'm not going to allow other people's hate or self-perceptions of what they perceive me to be, or just the enemy's lies in my head, or my own insecurities from my own experiences, or whatever, like stop me from embracing the way I was created. If everyone else can embrace their color of skin and their culture, I should be able to as well without being called like some extremist or something, you know? But I'm still learning how, though. It's hard for me. But as far as people being like, yo, like, why are you doing this? You know, you're white. You know, I've had some people, like, I had this one guy, like, saying, oh, you're appropriating the culture. I was like, dude, I was raised in the culture. What are you talking about? You know, like, this is what I was raised in. Like, they don't get it. Like, they're like, oh, why are you trying to be something that you're not? I'm like, so you expect me to just move to, like, a rich area from what people, like, stereotype white people as.
Yeah.
Move to a rich, like, suburban or whatever it's called. I don't even know what it's called. Area. And be, like, all proper and, like, all that. I'm like, that's not me. And I would feel so out of place. I wouldn't know how to act. They'd probably kick me out because I would not know how to be. And they'd probably be like, this girl, what the heck is she doing here? You know? And so it's like, it's like the whole thing of like I'm all out of place. You know, like I don't belong here, but I don't belong here. So where do I belong? You know? And I feel like now it's like, you know what? I'm done with that. So I'm just going to accept where God placed me in my life, why he placed me. I'm still figuring it out. Obviously it's for his unique plan, you know, but if people don't want to accept that, that's their problem, not mine. So I don't have to live up to someone's expectation based off of what I look like. If I was raised a certain way, like in a certain culture or whatever, I shouldn't have to somehow figure out how to be someone else's culture, that, or technically what people think my culture in every person's, you know, experience is, you know, because that's just not always the case. Like you said with Eminem, I don't think he was raised like that, you know, like different people. So it's just like, I feel like we should start like seeing people like, hey, I don't give a crap what color skin you are, where you from, you know? You know what I mean? Correct. So, you know, but like that's a good question, because sometimes that can be hard. I'm sure you understand that.
Oh,
so 100%. When we're done rap, people are probably like, here. So,
yeah, 100%. You know. I grew up in a similar space. I'm in Texas, but yeah, I remember growing up, and I would sit at the table predominantly black. I would be the guy beatboxing or like
Me too.
Beating on the table. I didn't have the confidence to freestyle.
Early. Me either.
Came a little bit later, like in middle of high school when I started rapping. But man, and it's something you said that really stuck out to me. For people listening that may feel this way, is you have to stop trying to fit in when you were born to stand out. Like,
for real, exactly.
I heard that so strongly when you were talking, because it's so easy for us to look to the left, look to the right, look on our phone, to whatever social media you choose.
Yeah.
See these people and start to compare people and compare ourselves with these people. And it's so easy to get into that trap of, I need to be like them. I need to do this this way because this is who I'm supposed to be. And I just encourage you and everyone at home is lean into who God created you to be. Like it's good to be misfit. Like honestly, it makes us different. And if you want to go back to scripture, even it's like you look at the whole story of like we're a body of many different parts, but you don't see a hand getting mad at an ear for being an ear and not a hand.
Yeah.
And people misconstrue that so much, and it frustrates me so much. But yeah, I totally agree. But while we're on this topic of Christian hip hop, I'm curious to hear your thoughts of what do you think are some common misconceptions about the Christian hip hop scene?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Or because I know there's a lot out there, and I know that it can be labeled as like, oh, it's just corny and cliche. And like, I'm just curious to hear your thoughts. What do you think when you hear that question of like, what are some of the misconceptions and how are you working to clear them up?
Well, that's a good question. I'll say one thing that you mentioned, that scripture. I actually just read that the other day and was having the same thoughts. So that's kind of cool. But yeah, basically with your question, I would say, I know when it started popping off, because like it started taking off like probably when I was like maybe 13, You know, like it started actually getting kind of more good, not as corny, you know, like when it started off, sometimes it could be corny, you know, it was like, all right, like I see what you're doing here, but this is not it, you know, like this is not the level of like Nicki or Drake or Lil Wayne, like y'all gotta step it up, like, you know, if you're trying to do this, you gotta do it, you know. But I think Group One Crew and Toby Mac for real had it. They were pretty dope. I think it was kind of a different style of hip hop. It was like not like what we're seeing in THH now. But I think like some other artists that were starting out were kind of corny, but I don't think they were trying. I think they were trying to figure out, how do I make Christian hip hop without compromising like the message, but also how do I get people to hop on and be like, hey, I support this. Like, I feel like maybe if they started off sounding exactly like the secular world, people may have ran away automatically.
Oh, for sure.
You know? Because I remember when Lecrae was starting to get big, I think I found him on YouTube and stuff before Spotify was a thing. Yeah. I would search on YouTube like, yo, Christian hip hop artists, go. And I just find a bunch of them. That's how I found him. I would literally search for hours trying to find new music on there. But anyways, I found him and Trippin, you know, like other smaller artists like V Rose. Well, she's not smaller, but back then she probably was a little smaller. But, you know, I found her. I found different artists. And they were cool, but it was like, you know, not there yet. And then I feel like a few years later, when Lecrae started working with, gosh, what's his name? He started working with that producer, and I can't think about the name right now, but that changed the whole game. I feel like
it was the church close Lecrae
said, like, let the trap say amen or something, and that one too. But there was, I can't think of
Zaytoven. He worked,
Zaytoven. That's who it is. I couldn't think.
Don Cannon, when he got with those guys,
It was starting to really take off. Like, and people were mad about Zaytoven and all that, but I feel like
they were so mad. Like, the old they were like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I feel like though, like, I feel like it created a new space in Christian hip hop that wasn't there, And I feel like ever since that. And I feel like ever since that, Christian hip-hop's quality has changed so much, and it set a new standard, and people were like, okay, I gotta step up. I gotta, oh, I have freedom now to make like a Nicki Minaj track type vibe. I have freedom to make a Lil Wayne type vibe. And that's when like 1K Few was starting to come more popular, and like he's kind of reminds me of Lil Wayne, you know? So he's like this short little dude too. It's funny. Yeah, he's Lil cute. Wayne, I love him. He's cool. I'm not cute. Sorry, I said that about everything, but he's cool. But I mean, he's cool, you know? But but basically, and I feel like that kind of thing, that really took off. And I think what also is people's issues that are not listening to Christian hip hop that actually don't know how good it is nowadays. Yeah. Because it honestly, I will hear a song that's Christian and I will not even know if it's like, I will know eventually by hearing the words. But like, if I don't know the words and I don't know the voice, I'll be like, is this secular or Christian? And then if I hear the words like, oh, this is not secular, they're not talking about like, you know, like terrible things that are trying to degrade everyone, you know, and like destroy people's lives, you know. But like, but basically, that's the crazy quality we've coming to more and more. And I feel like, you know, people, what I really want to say is people think it's still corny because of the message. And that's what gets me. Is like, you'd rather destroy your own communities by giving a message that gets kids on the streets, killing people, you know, overdosing on drugs, you know, having sex with random people, getting STDs, you know what I mean? Why would you rather push that message? And that's cool. And that's not corny. That's corny as heck, bro. You're over here trying to spread death, but yet you wonder why everyone's dying. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't get it. It's like your message over here is promoting death, and that's not corny. Like, I feel like that's like terrible. You know what I mean? Like, even if the intention is not, hey, let's do this so kid people die, it's still a message that does promote death. Like, drugs promotes death, like, you know, different things that people talk about in hip-hop, because I listened to it a lot when I was younger, and I started getting to the age where I was like, why am I listening to this trash? Like, it sounds great and it's really good, like, you know, they are talented, they have good bars, you know, whatever, like, they're talented. But I was like, this is terrible what I'm listening to. Real. As a woman, it's hard for me to hear these things. And also thinking about the kids that do fall into the snares of the drugs. drugs and like life that's promoted. But it's corny to talk about life and to talk about freedom and to talk about having joy and hope and peace and like, you know, how I was once in the worst place ever and now I'm free. But that's corny. That's what I don't get. I'm like, why is that? But I do know. I do know, though, it's because the enemy wants people to think.
And it's so much more spiritual. It's so spiritual than people realize.
Exactly.
And when you're more in tune with that, the more you see that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know about you, but I've been able to step into environments after the fact. Like a lot of times when I was rapping, I'm out in the Dallas area, and I would go do these like artist showcase, and I'm the only artist there. I'm the only artist that's a Christian there.
Yeah,
and it's just to be in that environment, literally being in the wild. Like that's when Andaminio's like Where the Wild Things Are song was big. So I was like, this is awesome. Like I'm living this. But I say this, like I could spiritually sense just that shift in the atmosphere, whether it's when God was speaking through me on stage or when I'm hearing the other people. And it's just so interesting.
Yeah.
People don't realize that music carries like a spiritual weight. And if you're not careful,
you'll
be almost hypnotized by how great this gift is, how great the talent is, but it's the character and the intent behind it that matters. But with that said, so the flip side of being a great Christian artist is almost this idea of like celebrity Christianity and this idea of it's very easy if you're not careful, if you're not grounded, if you don't have those mentors, those spiritual leaders in your life that are helping you stay pure. So I'm curious, as you've been making music for God, what is it that you've done to help you not like get selfish intentions, help you stay pure in your intentions behind your art?
Yeah, that's a great question. I feel like that's something that every Christian artist like has to constantly be on top of, because no matter how much of a desire we do have to always have the right intentions, you know, we're not perfect and we have to correct ourselves, you know. So there are times where I will start noticing in my spirit or whatever, like, hey, that's not, I feel like right now I'm prioritizing this over God, and that's not good. Or like, I feel like in this moment, I feel jealous because this person's popping off and I'm not, you know. And those two are big ones for me, because like I get happy for people, but I'm also like, oh man, why am I not popping off? Man, like, and then I get jealous and I kind of get annoyed with them. And I'm like, that's not right. I shouldn't be that way. Yeah. So then I have to go to God and be like, God, I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm trying not to feel we actually have a song coming out in a few weeks called Jealousy about this. But anyways, that's funny that I mentioned that. But, you know, that's one of the things that I feel like a lot of times the enemy will put in our hearts to cause division and to cause, like, you know, whatever, like, towards someone, a bad feeling or something. And we'll lift each other up in prayer and all that, you know. So now I'm starting to, whenever I feel like that, pray for the person, like, hey Lord, keep helping them, keep blessing them, you know, if it's your will or if you're trying to show them something, show it to them, whatever it is, you know, have your way, you know. I'm over here feeling this way, but I shouldn't be feeling this way, so now I'm just gonna pray for them, you know, because I love them and I know this is not the way I should feel, because I feel like even with the best intentions, our flesh still comes out. And we have to constantly like be on top of it, because it's always going to come out because we're here on earth, you know? So, and so that's one of the things I've noticed recently, is something I've been struggling with. And also just putting God, I mean, sometimes music, I can easily just take it and run with it and then leave God like kind of there, sort of, you know? But also, so what I have done to try to kind of make sure I'm not being this way, or when I do start to feel that way, to stop it, I try to just remember to always put God first and always be like in his presence, like always be like trying to bring him into everything, because for a while, like last year, I started like taking off in my head, like, let's go, let's do this. And then I kind of went further than God at that moment of like, I'm going now, you know. And God's like, no, you're not. And so then God was like, okay, you went way too far ahead, you need a break. So then I had to take a break, and God was like, you need to fast now from music. And I thought it'd be a month, it ended up lasting almost a whole year, no, about half a year. And then, but it was a good thing. I actually almost gave up music because I was like, I want you more than music, and I don't want to have this issue. And I'm afraid if I go back, I'm going to have this issue again. Sure. But God was like, no, you need to go back. And I was like, okay, I do want to, but I'm afraid of myself, you know? Yeah. So I came back last August, releasing again. And then the same thing started happening again. So then in January, I had to do it again. So I took a 40-day break fast. Better where I'm seeing more of the trend that I tend to get in when I start to run further than God's trying to take me at the moment, or when I start getting jealous of somebody or thinking I'm not good enough, which then makes me jealous of people, you know what I mean? It's just like, why are they this good and I'm not? You know, it's like, why do I feel that way? That's not fair for that person, and I'm sure they're a great person, you know. So what I'm learning now is just through those fasts is just remembering the reason I do these things is not for me and it's not for people's approval. It's literally for God. And if I have all these songs I make and I never release them, but God likes to listen to them, that's what matters. You know what I mean? So it's like, but if God says release it, cool, you know, but I have to remember when that song's released, I can't be getting discouraged if it's not getting the streams that it should get, in my opinion, or if people aren't like, yo, this is great. You know what I mean? So I'm remembering now, I'm learning now, like, gigs of why am I not popping off? Why is this person popping off and now I'm not? Or whatever. It's like, well, why am I doing this? That's what the question is. If I'm feeling this way, that shows a bad intention. So I have to constantly tell myself, I'm doing this for the Lord, not for myself, not for others. And that's like, I had to constantly surrender that to him, you know? So, yeah.
and I want to piggyback off of what you just said. I heard a cool clip, and it was more towards like business owners, but I think it applies to creatives and artists as well. Mm. If you are a believer and you're doing something, whether it's like a creative art or whether it's even a business, you're not an owner of that. You're a steward.
Yeah.
And that, exactly. When I heard that, it really spoke to me, because how many times do we feel, again, it goes back to like this identity, like when we find all of our identity in what we do, then we're no longer stewarding that gift. And it becomes to this space like, yeah, hard work's important. If you want to get better at a skill, you work at it. But at the same time, it's a gift. And it's not ours to have to like manufacture this need. And like you said, like when you get stuck in the numbers and you get stuck in that, it's like this idea, like our job is to sow. God's job is to
sow.
And a lot of people don't realize that like we want to like manufacture this growth. And when it's done out of our own will and out of our own power, it's never enough. And we end up getting in these spaces of striving and striding, trying to get to somewhere. And then we're burned out and we're overwhelmed. And we're like, what the heck, God? Why is this not working? This is what you have for me. And I always, and I love how you say, I try to keep the main thing, which is
God.
And if you can center your whole creativity, your whole life around the foundation, the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
If you can do that, then you're able to understand that it's out of that, that I am.
Exactly.
It's not, I'm just trying to strive to be someone that I'm not. And that's so good. But I want to kind of start going towards landing the plane. I know, like a classic a preacher, this is going to be our fifth close by the end. No, but
yeah. Yeah.
But I definitely want to try to wind down, because I want to be respectful of your time so you can get back to your job and everything you have to do. So I only have two more questions for you.
Yeah.
And the first question being, do you have any questions for me / did I miss something that you want to share?
Hey, I just wanted to pause here and give you the opportunity to either apply to be a guest on this show or give you the opportunity to work with me as your coach. To do that, you will find either of those links in the description that'll say either be a guest on the show or book a free 30-minute Zoom discovery call. Each path will get you headed towards living your most creative and fulfilled life as you learn to live better than best. All right, now back to today's conversation.
Do you have any questions for me / did I miss something that you want to share?
I mean, I guess what I would say, I don't know. I'm not too sure if I have any questions. I think maybe one thing I would share is just kind of piggybacking off of what I was kind of just saying is we are in a constant place of growth, you know, in our walk with Christ. And I feel like giving yourself grace when you are in those places of, I feel jealous of this person, I'm feeling kind of annoyed about this person right now, you know, like, because that's not ever what I ever want to admit, because I'm always like, no, I love everyone, which I do, you know, like, and I'm like, oh, like, I always want the best for everyone, but at the same time, we still sometimes are like, I am like, no, why are they getting better, or like getting more people to look at them or whatever. It's like, I feel like when we start to get honest with ourselves about the things that we really do think of, that we try to just be like, oh, that's not, I don't think that, you know, I would never think that. Like, I feel like when we start to actually be real with God, like, hey God, like, I actually do think this right now, because for so long I would deny it and be like, no, I would never think that, I'm not jealous of people, I don't think that, oh my gosh, it's not me. But it's like, but we do have imperfect flesh, you know, yeah, that we have to fight against. So I think it's actually really good to admit those things to God, because it brings it into the light instead of just throwing it back down the hole and keeping it a struggle without even knowing. And that's what I've been doing recently, is finally admitting, hey God, I didn't even realize I had this struggle, but now that I think about it, I do remember thinking about this and I get discouraged or whatever, you know, please help me to stop feeling this way about, you know, this way, why am I this way anyways, you know. And I feel like when we start to actually bring our struggles into the light, even if we feel like, I didn't think I'd ever think that, you know, well, God knows, even if you don't know, he still knows. So, and that starts to make you more of a better, like, candidate for other people, like a better, like, supporter. Like, the more I bring these things into the light, the more God gives me, like, a love for these people that sometimes I may be like, oh, why do I feel this way, you know, or it just makes me want to pray for them, or it makes me root for them and want them to succeed. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, that's what God wants, because when we start bringing the things into the light, it shows us, like, you know, this is how I see this person, and you're just jealous right now, you know, so, or whatever it is, because yeah, I never thought I struggled with that. But I guess recently I started realizing, like, wow, I do have these thoughts, and I just always throw them away, you know, like, they're not there. So, but that's something I'd say, is just being real with yourself. Like, hey, my monologue going on in my head, why is it keeps saying this? This is an issue that I'm struggling with. And then the last thing I'd say that I feel like it'd be kind of cool to say is just, like you were saying, you know, like, if God has put something on your heart to pursue, definitely don't not do it because you feel like it's impossible. Like, for me, I'll say this very briefly. Like, when I was starting to finally actually want to have my own studio in my room, I was like, God, I don't make no money. The heck, how am I gotta pay my bills, my health bills. And then this is so crazy. Like, I shared, like, once on Instagram a long time ago, that I was like, if y'all can just be praying for the Lord to provide for, you know, a studio, or if anyone's nice and wants to donate, you know. But this is funny, I didn't think anything would come of it, but my neighbor across the street ran, like, across the street to my yard one day and put a box on my front door of $500, which I'm like, dude, that was probably dumb because someone could have stole that. But anyways, he put that there, and I was like, maybe you should wait till the morning and see the anyway, I think it'll steal the people. But he put it there and was like, yo, I want you to pursue your dream. And I was like, dude, I can buy, like, a small little studio with that, like a little Focusrite solo bundle or something, you know, and like a monitor. And that's how I started, was with that, you know, because I didn't have the money, you know. And slowly over time, I started, you know, upgrading to a better mic, you know, and like a better interface and different things. But, you know, so, like, I'm not saying that's gonna happen to everyone, but the Lord will provide in his due time. Like, whatever he has placed in your heart, like, you just got to trust the Lord. Like, he has all the resources. It's not hard for him. You know, it's just a matter of time. So that's what I would say. Yeah.
Oof. And I have to piggyback off of both of those, but starting with that whole, the God will provide. And yeah, like, it's the idea of vision first, then comes the provision. Mm. I can think of, there's a guy that's in my life. He's a great friend of mine. His name's Scott O'Neill. I'll give him a shout out right now. But he came around right when I made my first album, and he heard some of my music, and he was like, dude, I want to executive produce this.
Oh, that's great.
And I was like, what does that mean? And he wasn't like a producer, like making beats, but he wanted to fund it. And he literally funded like every beat to get bought. He bought me a new mic, and like, I'm forever grateful for that, because it really, like, jumpstart in my career. And it sounds very similar to your situation. And I say that not to say, hey, you know, it's going to happen to everybody. But I do believe that if God's placed a desire and a vision in your heart, He will provide a way if that's truly His path for your life, I believe. And
yeah,
if you believe and you put and you're coming at it in the right way, that He will pave a way and the impossible will be possible. But also, I want to piggyback on the other thing you mentioned about that whole idea of you can't heal what you're not willing to reveal. And you mentioned like this idea of there's some things in our hearts. We're in constant growth. And I believe like we're not going to grow until we're completely honest with ourselves. And I always say it on my show is like vulnerability is our superpower. And I truly believe that if we can be 100% authentically ourselves and transparent and real and don't run away and distract ourselves from the things like you mentioned, like you had this bit of jealousy you dealt with. Mm-hmm. And instead of like continuing to like, oh, it's fine. It's, you know, just a little, instead of like not thinking about it, you pressed into it. And I think that's one of the simplest, most practical things at home for you listening or you watching is if there's a conflict or an issue in your life, it could even be the smallest of thoughts that are negative. Instead of like just discrediting, take a moment and really press into it and see where that shows up first physically in your body and then see where it came from. And if you can discover the root cause of that thought and that trauma, then you're able to truly heal from it and then you're able to grow from it. And I truly believe that that's really important because when we commit to this growth and we commit to this walk with God, it's obviously not going to be easy. Like there's going to be a crushing process. There's going to be a bit of dying to self. And a lot of people don't want to do that and they shy away from even talking about it. But I believe that our most fulfilled, our most creative self is going to be the self that's willing to be open and honest, not only with ourselves but those around us. And man, this has been such a good conversation.
Yeah, thank you.
And I could totally go on forever, but
me too.
I will cut it short with one last question and then we'll roll out.
Yeah.
And totally let you get back to the rest of your day. But I love ending with this question right here. And it's this idea of you're at the end of your life, however old you plan to live. For me, I'm hoping to be 120 because I got a lot.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And so you're at the end of your life. You're surrounded by all your loved ones and all of that. What do you want to be remembered for?
Yeah, that's a good question. So what would I want to be remembered for? I'm pretty sure there was actually something the other day I heard someone say. It was in a song by Stephanie Gretzinger.
Yeah.
And that was what, it's funny that you asked that because I just heard that. It was like, I want that too. And her song, oh, I thought it was raining. And her song, I forgot exactly what she said, but I just found it so inspiring. And she was like, you know, when I die, you know, I want everyone to remember me for just my heart for the Lord and wanting to just be close to Him. And like, I feel like there was so much more, of course, she put to it in her lyrics that sounded so amazing. And I was just like so touched for some reason by it. And I was like, that's what I want to be remembered for. Like, I don't want to be remembered for like making good music or, I mean, that's kind of cool too. But like the real main thing that I want people, you know, she was bit by a shark and all that. I was, by the way, I didn't tell you all that. But what I do remember about her is her heart for genuinely just wanting to love the Lord, like wanting to be in His presence, wanting to be at His feet with Him. And it like, and out of that came her heart for, you know, loving on other people. So I think kind of like what we remember Jesus for is his ministry and the amazing love He showed in dying for us. But also, like, what I remember Him for a lot is His heart for being close to the Father. And He would, this could be a whole nother story, so I'll say it very briefly, but He would do amazing things in ministry, like huge miracles. And then He would go right to the mountain to pray right after. And it was like, that was His heart. His heart was with the Father. And I think He also knew, like, I want to remember, like, the source of this and also why I'm here and also never lose sight of my love, you know, and His love was the Father. And of course, you know, the world of people But that's kind of what I want to be remembered for, is just, you know, like, just love for God and just wanting to be with him and close to him and just having a genuine relationship, like Enoch, I think it was, like, just genuinely walking with the Lord, not just serving him and doing great things in his name, but, like, my walk with him is genuine, you know? And then on top of that, I'm sure there'll be cool things too, hopefully, but, you know, but yeah, so that's what I would say.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Thanks again for being a part of the show. I will link all your things, all your social media.
Yeah. Thank you.
And definitely go check out Megan and her music. Give her a follow. Connect with her outside of her music. Because, like, as you can tell, a lot of times us creatives and us artists, we get known for one thing. But we're faceted, and like the person we are behind the art is just as important. Mm-hmm. And I thank you again for being on the show. Exactly. Thank you for sharing your heart.
Thank you so much for watching and listening today. Let's stay connected. You can either click on the video or click that little subscribe button so we can stay connected. And also be sure to follow me on Instagram and TikTok at coach.redwallet to get more consistent encouragement and motivation to live your better than best life.